I think many times we have a false sense of what we really need because we're bombed so much from the world today of what they think that you should really need. We was talking about this a moment ago, Monty, Brandon, and I in the back of the church here, of with the technology that we have today, everything in the world that you could want compared to 60 years ago. And Monty said 60, I wasn't born 60 years, almost ago, but things have changed 30 years ago. And with the phone industry, the automobile industry, every type of industry you can think of, clothing, the technology of it is unbelievable. Medical. And I was talking to a guy at Amarillo the other day, and Bonnie and I went up and visited with a fella, and we were talking and we were visiting with him about some things, and he said, people are living longer. He said, you're going to have to be able to live longer. And so you might want to consider that in your finances. They're not living as the way they used to. They would die earlier because technology of medicine wasn't there. So one of the things that he said is, you need good insurance. You know, these are the things that we've got to think about in our life is, what do we really need? And that's the thing, the mindset that we get into in this world is really a lot of times worldly things. What do we really need? We want to be able to eat. We want to be comfortable. We want to take care of self and our loved ones and be in a situation where, you know, we have those things physically. But really we've got to think differently, don't we? Many times we got to think way, way far ahead. You know, in the scriptures, it teaches us in Mark 4:18-19, and others are the ones sown among thorns. There are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. We're going to concentrate and focus really this lesson on cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things. And we're going to focus on those three things. And I went ahead and underlined this at the bottom because I wanted it to see two, the end result of those areas is that it proves unfruitful. You know, some of these areas that we're looking at today, it's kind of a focus lesson. I listened to Brother Sean's lesson on covetousness back in December on the website yesterday. And I wanted to see if there was any overlap in some of the scriptures and things. And he brought a wonderful lesson. I wished I was here, Bonnie and I, to hear that lesson, but I heard that lesson on the website, and I don't know who set that website up. They did a good job that you can go in there and listen to those previous lessons before, because it influenced me a lot just listening to the audio of it. And so those things that we can go into and listen and help grow our lives in Christianity helps. Wants and needs. When we ask ourselves truly the wants and needs in our life, we got to look at these scriptures and let it instruct us. You know, back in the day when a man went out and planted or sowed seed, it's not like it is now, where GPS on a John Deere runs you in a straight row, and you got a big, huge drill, and it puts the seed in the ground. In that time, they possibly had a bag on their side, and they went out and into an area that they expected for a crop to come up, and they'd grab that seed, and they would broadcast it by hand. We have now, just if you're doing a yard or something, you know, a little broadcaster that you can turn. But at that time, they would spread seed. And it talked about, in these scriptures here, in the different gospels, of where that seed would land, where it would fall down to. And it talked about the different conditions of the soil, the parable of the sower. And so the readings that I looked at was showing really the conditions of how people respond to the word. And so when you think about the seed, whenever that sower was throwing seed out, and it landed not always right in the areas that he wanted to plant it. So some of it would fall by the wayside. Now, looking at wayside, what is wayside? It's a road. It's just a path, a road. And so you think about it, if you're going to your cropland, you go usually down a county road, and you'll get into your area, won't you, of where your farm is. And it's kind of the same for that. Possibly as he was sowing by hand, it's hard to be accurate. He'd go by the wayside, and the birds would come devour it because it wasn't covered up. In the other scriptures, the area said that Satan took that seed. And so in that area, if you think about this, if you just graph this and you look at this parable, when it was taught, you can see the conditions of these souls and the way the conditions of people would respond to it. For somebody, as far as that, the Satan just stealing that word, it just never got a start. So really, you're thinking about teaching God's word to someone, and these are the conditions that we're trying to get started in this, and it just, they wouldn't hear it and receive it. So it didn't get a start. That was by the wayside. So it never was going to be fruitful, was it? And another time was when the seed fell on stony ground, and that ground was just no soil there really to speak of. And when the seed fell on the stony ground, we know the parable there, what it mentions, the dirt was shallow and possibly the roots went in for a while with the rains and things. Those roots got exposed. And then the sun comes and dries it out. You know what happens then? It dies. It withers away. That's what the scripture says. It proves unfruitful. Then we find out there was one seed or seeds that fell in thorny ground. And you know, this is an area that I kind of try to struggle of. It says it fell in thorny ground. Well, if a man's sowing, you wouldn't want to sow it in thorny ground. You want a good, clear area to sow it in. But anyway, those thorns got worse, I'm sure. And before long, those thorns were choking it out because of the canopy and the shade it was putting over that plant. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't know if a condition of these people were lost, but it says that plant only got so far up and it wouldn't grow no more. It proved unfruitful. It would not yield. Now, you may not have been lost, but there was no fruit produced. And so this is the area that we're going to concentrate on. And we know the other ground. We know the other ground is good ground, right? That the seed fell in. So you got good fertile soil there. The seed fell in good ground, went into an honest and good heart. And it yielded. There was fruit. And the reason I'm going through detail of I believe this parable is I believe that we as Christians more than ever in the church fall into this category. And this is an area that we have to be warned about and we really visit about in the scriptures to help us. We don't want to have this condition. Be watchful for the three chokeholds. You ever watch MMA fights where they go in and the guys can just with that finger put you on the ground? It's unbelievable. Talking about technology of fighting, I would not mess with one of those guys. They'll put a chokehold on you and you'll be tapping out. That's what I'm going to be. This has helped me to think about these three things that go on as far as the thorns choking. And those are the three things that it was talking about. And here, the cares of the world, when you look at the Strong's, it's distractions. Cares of the world there, when you read it and you went to Strong's, distractions. Distractions of the world, the delusion of riches, and the desires for other things. So when we think about wants and needs, we really need to be careful with these areas here in our Christian life. We can find out in the scriptures, chokehold number one, distractions of the world. We've got it graphed where we just really can remember this real easily. You know, I list husband, wife, and family. And you're like, really? Is that a distraction? Bonnie, it's a distraction. I'm a distraction to her. Yeah, when you get down to it and read the scriptures, the way Paul will explain it, it's in the Bible. I'm not just pulling my opinion here, folks. It's in the Bible. Paul talks about it. We'll get to that in a moment. Work, career, and possessions in your home. Think about your home for a minute. We'll start there. When you think about your possessions in your home, you shine things up and you clean things out and clean the cobwebs. I mean, you got to take care of it. If you don't take care of your property, it goes back to nature. Thorns have come up. So you've got to continue to take care of that. Possessions and home. It is a distraction. Your work and career. All of us got to make a living. And we have done it and we work. And so we have that distraction. You can call it a distraction because really, I mean, it's the time that you need of your physical means. You're going to be doing that job 8 hours more a day. And you're going to need to give it the attention. So chokehold number one. Distractions of the world. And this is just basics of what I come up with. You can just take that and make a list on further down on a piece of paper, folks. Y'all know that. In church family, we can fill up the paper with stuff to do. Satan will give you more things to do in your day to keep you from praying and reading your Bible and doing the things that you need to do, truly, and I. He will just fill it up. And if we let him. So, chokehold number one. Satan can make us tap out. And I tell you, I don't want to tap out in this lifetime in church work and in my Christian life. Distractions of husband and wife. 1 Corinthians 7:32 through 35. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he, but he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. We see here in 34, there's a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may be please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, or things that are right, honorable, which is comely, that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. So we see here in these scriptures that Paul, when you focus on your life, that possibly, folks, we would have given more time to the Lord if we was a Christian as we wasn't married. Why? Because there are the distractions of that. And so we've got a choice, husband and wife. We work together and we don't be a distraction to one another. And we work as a team and we continue to do God's church work. And we try to keep those distractions down. As far as husband and wife, there are going to be needs. And I understand that. And we have to fulfill those needs because we love our wives, men, and ladies, you love your husbands. But I believe that if you're married and you become one, that that goal should be church work and it should be work together. And if you're separate on that, it only is a distraction. So we have to understand Paul's thoughts here in these scriptures that we don't want to be a distraction one to another when it comes to church work. Distractions of your work and career. In Ephesians 4 and 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. We'll go ahead and read the scripture below and we'll make the comments here. Matthew 16:26, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, when you think about distraction of work and career, again, the sky is the limit of how far you want to go, whatever your ambition is. You don't want to sound boastful, men, in your time when you're on this earth, but there may be things you could have done. Ladies, I can't say men. Ladies, a lot of ladies in their careers who have become unbelievable careers and gains anymore. The CEOs of these companies, women who lead these companies are unbelievable. Men, same way. The sky is the limit. But when you think about distractions, I know what distractions can be for people like that. And it can eat up your lifetime of your time. So the world is yours if you just go after it. You can. But truly, what is it that you really need and what is it that you really want? In Ephesians, right above it there, it talks about work with your hands, that which is good. And you give some of your money away from time to time to help others. And you know, that is a good, honest way of doing things in this life is you try to find, and I really try to hesitate and say balance anymore because I think if we're thinking of a balance as Christian and you're saying, okay, God's time, my time, you know, church work, my work, and you try to balance these things out, really you're saying that you're equal and should be balanced with God. And that it should measure that. God should be tilting that scale. It should be more time and more giving to him. And that scale really should be going the other way. And I find myself just, you know, kind of talking well, a moderate and kind of a balance. But truly our attitude should be distractions can be our work and our careers. For me, I wanted this in life at one time and it took 3 jobs to do it. And now I'm down to 1 job and I'm liking it. And you know what? Maybe that was too much time in a lot of areas, and it probably was at times. It got some of the needs that I wanted to do and the things that we wanted to do. Yep, but there was times that it took me away from the things that I should have been doing. So we've got to ask ourselves again, wants and needs. One of the things that Sean brought out in that lesson that I remember him speaking about was one man told him, now you're just kind of getting in there and kind of meddling, aren't you? And, you know, I don't know what you have. That truly is not my business. And I don't know what you want to go after. For me, I can tell you this, my ambition got lost. It rolled under a table somewhere and I haven't found it in a long time as far as the career. We have been on kind of doing this and I want to do more of it. I want a lot of that out and focus on a little bit to get by on and good to go. And so for you, it may be starting your career. You may be saying, you know what? We're young. We're going to here and we're going to be like a rocket and we're going to go. I don't know. As a man, I can tell you what I would think about it now. I think many times that the world is teaching us that you need to look good. Number one, this is a certain way you need to look. You need to be educated, knowledge, need to have wealth. You need to do this. And it sounds a whole lot like the Babylonians was back in the day. Was it right? I don't know. I don't know that it is. I can say this in the scriptures is that if we work and we gain the whole world, what have you gained? It was a bad exchange. So some of these things, you've got to ask yourself that question again. What do you want or what is it that you really need? We need God. And whenever we read the scriptures like this, that we have work in our lifetime, but we have got time to give to God, and we continue to do that, and we continue to give, and we do the things that God has asked us to do. Distractions of possessions and of home. Luke 12:15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And how true that is. We find out so many of the times that we go in and we shine and we clean and we take care of a lot of areas of our life that eat up time and money, and that we find out that one day it'll be someone else's. Delusion of riches. Chokehold number two. I don't know. Maybe it was a full Nelson here. I'm not sure when it talks about chokehold. You think about that. Satan using all of his devices and different things on how to get chokeholds on people. Delusion of riches. 1 Timothy 6:6-8. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Again, I believe whatever state we're in, as we're being taught from the scriptures here, for us to be happy in that. You know, to me, when you think about happiness and the delusion of riches, really what stands out to me is like, you've wanted this forever. You go get it. You wanted that shiny car. You wanted this or that. Maybe it was a deer rifle, ladies. Maybe it was some clothes. If I only had this, and I'm going to overlap here a little bit on through Sean's lesson, but I didn't know he'd even give this lesson until yesterday, and I looked at it, so I'm not taking it off my lesson. But whenever we have that attitude, really, and you get it, you get whatever it was that you really wanted, then you're like, a year later, it's a satisfaction that will never be satisfied, all these things. And I got I believe in my life, proof of it. It's just, it ain't enough. The man who's got the fastest car in town and you put whatever on it to make it faster and you go that fast, and maybe it's what's got this world to where it is today in this United States of America, is that technology, nobody's just really ever happy. They keep pushing that limit. Well, Christian lives can be that way. As we're trying to live this Christian life as a man of this physical world, the worldly things, we just keep adding and we get. And then after a while, we're like, it doesn't really make me that happy. And truly, it's not a happiness that we'll ever attain. It's hard. And I think it's a fight for all of us. We're not going to carry these things out with us. So let us be content. You know, the expectations of the people that live in the United States is different than, and I ain't saying we should be like Denmark or Central America or anyone else. I think we should try to be the nation that we are, but you think about the expectations of people in those areas and they are less. Some of it's because of communism saying you're not getting it, you know, period. And some of it is just the expectations of stuff is not there. Denmark, everybody's trucking around and on bicycles and just happy as they can be. But in Texas, it can be a long trip to go see some of your friends in Texas on a bicycle. So we have the vehicles that we have. But, you know, you think about that, their expectations, though, really is a lot less And there's some others besides Denmark that has completely less than that. I remember Bonnie and I went to a place, it was going through Mexico, and it was going to a place called Chichen Itza, and it's Mayan ruins. And on that trip, in that area of jungle, we're going down a road, and we come through these places in Mexico, and I'm saying, Bonnie, oh my goodness. Had no idea. Plywood houses. I'm serious. It was not a good condition. Felt sorry for them. But then I got to looking, and the kids would be running around outside, playing, smiles on their faces, people working around, smiles on their faces. And people were happy. And so I'm sitting there going, it's not things, is it, that makes these folks happy? And so we must think about that in our nation today. If you need it and you want it, somebody's selling it in this world. It's just the way it is. There's more products on the shelf today that we can put and add to our little things of that we have. Delusions of riches. Luke 12:16-21. He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, so thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. You know, we can read the scriptures here and find out that there is a lot of wisdom and teaching. We can go into areas of Proverbs and see scriptures that have a lot of wisdom. We can see these scriptures like this that continually tell us the areas that our efforts and our times and our monies should be going towards. And that's the part that we need to think to ourselves, you know what, we've got to be thinking further out. It's not just right here. And in those areas of our life, if we have greed or covetousness going on, wanting things that we really don't need, then maybe we should ask ourselves those deep questions. Some of the things that we put ourselves in the bind with is that I thought Brother Sean's lesson reflected so well and said so well, was putting ourselves in a position where we believe we needed something, it's charged because we didn't have the cash to pay for it. And when it's charged, then that continues to tick up and those accounts build, that we find ourselves after a while between the utilities and things of the home that we truly just need to live on, which is our physical means, food, water, the electricity on the house, those things that we know we need in our life. But then we've got Visa and the Discover and the banknotes. And then after a while, we've got this one. And so with all that, now you're working this to pay for it. And so now it not only becomes a financial thing in your back pocket, but it's also time, because you're working the overtime. I need the hours. I need this because I have these obligations to meet. And so once we get in that position, truly, it's robbing you of your life. And we're in debt, and we find ourselves being in a position where both husband and wife are working to meet these obligations. And so we see God's time being robbed. And there's work that needs to be done. And many times we find ourselves too ragged out. We come home, we're tired, and we're not going anywhere. We'll stay right at home. So those are the things that I have seen in my years of working is where does it stop? Where's enough? Where is the point where we just say, you know what? No, we're not buying that. And say, we have this much, and if you don't have the cash to pay for it, we're not going to have it. So that gets into, the Bible teaches us finances. It teaches us that we should not be a debtor. And it teaches us that we don't need all these things that the scriptures talk about. All right, choke code number 3, desires for other things. Luke 12:18-20. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns. I'm going to read it again. And build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thou shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? In wisdom, it is foolish, and the Bible said it. We work a lifetime to fill our shops, our barns, our houses, and then we're going to turn around, and if the good Lord comes back, it's going to be ashes. If he doesn't come back, then we're going to leave it to somebody. And so, if you want to work a lifetime, and myself, to just say, here you go, and really, it's a thing where God's saying, you can have all that, or we can have all this. And here is a lifetime of work that we can be doing. And you're setting up for an eternal home. And the desires for all these other things that we worked such a lifetime and hard for. I wished it was different. I wish we could say, you know what, we could do this, and the works that we do are going to be fruitful. But when we do this in Luke 12, what they're talking about, it takes away from God's time. And it was speaking about the parable of the sower a moment ago in this scripture. When we're talking about these three things, at the end it said, and it proved unfruitful. So instead of our plant being up here, it's down here. And it didn't put any fruit on. There was no yield. And so the scriptures point, brethren, into a lot of areas of our lives of being unfruitful. And we must control that. In Ephesus, it was a rich city. First Timothy 1:3, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. And Timothy instructs the rich that godliness and satisfaction is great gain. 1 Timothy 6:6-8, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. So, you think about, evidently, people of the church there were well off. And Paul is instructing Timothy to say this to them. He's saying, the gain truly is this. He's saying, we can't carry it out. If we have food and raiment, we should be content with that. And godliness, contentment is great gain. So you had people who were saying that money and all these things was the great gains. And so they're flipping it around. Timothy here saying, no, just wait a minute. You have food and raiment, you should be happy. And I thought about that compared really in parallel to, you know, we all have food and raiment. And really, is that truly what we should have to be content if we have that in our lives? Is it the houses full of our stuff? Is it the items that we have to be able to go and see and do and the entertainment and the just keep on adding on? But he boils it down to bare bone of food and raiment. And I want to tell you, as I've gotten older, a hot meal, a soft bed and a shower is pretty nice. And when you think about it in those areas, if you're eating and you have a home over your head and it's paid for and you have the basic needs of life, that's what Timothy is saying. Those basic needs should take care of your happiness. And really, it truly does. But we as Americans say, no, that ain't enough. You know what? I like that, and I'm going to have it, and I don't care what I got to do to get it. I'll throw it on a credit card. I don't care. I want that. I will do this. I'll work the extra overtime. And so we get this thinking of getting and getting, and, you know, you can blame it on the technology of the United States, but it's really not. It's a discipline in our own hearts is to be the fault. And so we find ourselves being a lack of discipline and spinning out of control. Flee and follow. 1 Timothy 6:9-12. But they that will be rich fall into the temptation of snaring into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You know, when you think about this flee and follow, really it's run away and follow this. And whenever you think about that, it's an action. It's engaging. And when we make those decisions in our lives, I believe that we will follow the right things that the Bible teaches us to follow. You know, when you bring these scriptures up, when Paul was instructing Timothy to talk to those who were wealthy or rich in the church, I don't know what in that time was considered to be wealth and rich, and whether it was 100,000, a quarter million, $1 million. Then it was probably gold and silver. I don't know what that was, but they said it was wealthy, and I'm sure it was. In the church today, and in the society today, you know, we can look at the United States of America and understand that our wealth is different than what it's going to be middle class here, $50,000 to $75,000, $80,000. Okay. You take that to Central America and go and see compared to the wages there, what that would be. I'm going to guess that would be, I don't know if they're making, I believe an average, $10,000 a year, possibly in those areas, I believe. But Sean brought up some numbers that were unbelievable. So really, when you look at the whole world, folks, and you don't consider yourself rich, you are. And if you're middle class here, or a little bit less than middle class, compared to what's around us, you are a wealthy person. So don't get this idea, well, he's talking to so-and-so over here, because I definitely am not rich. Well, compared to other countries, you are rich. Therefore, for us to be that amount of rich to someone who is in that country, we see to ourselves that we try to justify, and we try to say, no, I'm not this, and in raw reality that, yeah, we are. And therefore, let's call it what it is. Let's call it by the truth. We have a lot of things in this United States of America, and we work very hard to go after them. And sometimes to the point where we're choked, and many times we don't know what to do. We need to fight the good fight of faith, number one. 2 Timothy 4:5-8, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. We see here a pep talk. And I believe as Christians that we should continue to do that in our lives also. That we have this attitude that one day when we're on that deathbed, and I hope it's later and not sooner for all of us, but if we are, that we can sit there in that bed and say to ourselves, I'm ready. I'm ready to meet the Lord. I'm tired. I want to go home. And we don't have this attitude of, man, if I can get up from here and just go work another hour overtime. If I could have done this, I could have done that. You know, if I made that trade, I'd made another dollar. If I'd done this right with the real estate, I wouldn't have had to pay any taxes on. Those thinkings and those lines of life, God says, are foolish. But Paul says, I'm ready. I've had a good fight, and I'm ready for a departure. And as Christians, we need also to have that same attitude. We need to have a good time in our lives as a departure. Attend to the Lord's work with a good heart. Mark 4:20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. You know, when you think about the basic farming nature, a man puts seed in the ground and he knows that God will send the rain and the sun and it will grow. When you think about farming, you want that to grow and to get that yield. We read just a moment ago that if we're not careful, that the things that go on in our lives, the delusion of riches, we find out the things of the distractions, we find out all of these things that are come up in our lives and these cares of the world are not profitable. And they explain that in the basic farming analogy is that plant won't grow. It becomes unfruitful. When Christ was teaching the word and using those basic outlines of falling on stony ground and falling on the wayside, those were going into a lot of ears that would not hear. They wouldn't receive it. Whether it was pride, unbelief, no faith in it, those were the conditions of the soul and the hearts. And we find out then he throws in about the thorny ground. And then you have those who received it, plant come up, and all this stuff just growed all over it. And it didn't get any sun. It wouldn't grow. What's the condition of your heart today? What's the condition of my heart today? Or is it going into good ground? The things that you do with your church work and your Christian life between you and your Lord, has it gone to 30-fold, 60, some 100? Or is it a big goose egg? And that plant's just sitting there. It's stunted and dwarfed because it's choked out. I hope that the things that we've said will help all of us to look at our lives, to want to improve our life in our Christian walk, that we make sure that seed stays in good ground and look at it with honest heart. If there's briars in our life that's choking, let's cut them out and get them out of there and get the sun and get it growing. That our church work that we do grows, that it's blessed, and that we continue to do the work that God has put us on this good earth to do.